This podcast is brought to you today by two of our suppliers, Lakeland Dairies and La Verge de Boron. For over 80 years, La Verge de Boron has been the secret ingredient behind world-class menus, trusted by chefs, pastry chefs and mixologists across the globe. From hand-selecting the finest fruit varieties to mastering the art of blending and preserving pure, vibrant flavour, Boron delivers premium fruit solutions that spark creativity and elevate every dish, dessert and drink. Boron, where passion meets precision and fruit becomes unforgettable. Welcome to our Talking Food podcast here at Bidfood. I'm Imogen, Marketing Manager for Hotels, and I'll be your host for this podcast. Today I'm joined by Lee, Claremont's Development Chef, and we're at the View Bar at the Tower Hotel, which is a great atmosphere, which you might hear in the background. Today we're going to be discussing the importance of food in a hotel visit, and how creating innovative menus can create an unforgettable experience for your diners. Firstly, I want to say welcome and thank you so much for being on the podcast. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your experience, please.
So I've been at the Claremont Hotel Group now for 4 years as Group Development Chef. It's quite a varied role, really, because our food offer is big. We know we go from breakfast to banqueting to restaurants and bars. My main role is to work with marketing and the leads of the hotels to come up with new and innovative ideas and present recipes.
I want to touch on today value as well. So we know that a really big chunk of consumers are value driven when they're dining out of home, and that value doesn't always mean value for money. It can mean a dish which is high quality, something which is sustainable, has health benefits. I know for me, like when I dine out, I'm willing to pay more for something that's healthy because I am health conscious. It can mean when someone's dining with a nice ambiance around them. What are you seeing customers prioritise when they're dining out of home? What are you seeing them prioritise that they think is value?
I think initially, especially when we came out of lockdown and the hotels were reopening, value was a key factor. So we wanted to offer great value to attract people to come out and to dine. Mm-hmm. But we've seen a bigger movement now towards people wanting smaller plates, healthier options, and just general health consciousness and a massive part of sustainability.
Yeah.
You know, as a group, we're really big on ESG, and a lot of our corporate bookings are kind of want to know our background of who we work with, what their credentials are. Our sales teams need to have an ESG packet to give to the corporate bookers.
Okay. And are you seeing people, when they're coming in and dining with you, wanting to see sustainable accreditations on menus and healthy information as well?
Yeah. So it's a bit of a big debate on that one for us at the moment. We are doing a lot healthier dishes. We are very conscious that, you know, gluten-free, for instance, is quite a big criteria at the moment. But based on our kitchens not being totally gluten-free environment, so cross-contamination, we have to be very conscious of that. But we do try as hard as we can to give those options to customers. You know, vegan food is not big for us, but we like to include it in the menus as a dish in its own right. Not have a vegan section, but if we're going to include a vegan dish, it's a standout dish in its own right. The hotel's a lot, and I love a burger, but sometimes I visit 5 hotels in the week. It's kind of like I want to eat something healthy myself.
Yeah.
And a lot of our customers are like that. My friends and family are the same.
I think it's important. I know that corporate dining is coming back. People are traveling a lot more after COVID now. And that when people are traveling, they do want a healthy option. I know that when I travel for work, I don't always necessarily want to be indulging. I want to know I can go into a venue and have, I might not pick it, I might have the burger, but have the option to pick something healthy and know that it's locally sourced or it's sustainable, or I'm willing to pay a little bit more if I know it's good for me.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that, because we're slightly changing the way that our menus are developed now. So we're involving the hotel teams a lot more on new dishes. So we have a core range because we're very tourist-based hotels, which, you know, we've polished the recipes on that. They work well for us. You know, we do a great fish and chips, but we think we do a better fish and chips than our competitors.
This looks like a good fish and chips.
It's a good fish and chips. It's a very good fish and chips.
I'm like them.
Thank you.
I'm trying some fish and chips.
You know, our burger range is a really good burger range. So it's the simple things, you know, toasting the bun and all the different textures. We kind of try and elevate the simple stuff. But at the same time, we're now looking at, there is a gap in the market for us that if we premiumize some of our products, that's going to bring that extra spend into the business.
Yeah, I totally agree.
It's what the marketeers are telling us, that we need to go in that direction. So we've kind of introduced very, very recently some sort of more premium dishes, some more chefy dishes.
What have you introduced? Give a sneak peek of what you're going to introduce.
So a good example, actually, is Charing Cross Hotel.
Okay.
Claremont Charing Cross, above the train station. I believe it was their 160th birthday this year. So they've done a nod to the heritage of the hotel.
Okay, nice.
So I worked with the head chef there, and we came up with some real old classic dishes, looking at the Escoffier, because we looked at the old menus that were in the hotel when it first opened, and it was all classical French cuisine.
Do you change the hotel menus based on where the hotel is? Like, would they have different independent menus, or would you maybe tweak dishes to link into the location of the hotel? I know this is something that some hotels might look into doing, especially if they're in a location, which, for example, London, Edinburgh, you might have a look at local dishes or local heritage. Is that something you look at in your hotels?
To a certain degree, yes. So below here, we've got the restaurant for the hotel is called Vicinity.
Okay.
And the general idea of that was, it was what was local to the area here. It is a very, very busy restaurant, so we have to be quite careful about what dishes we put on, because it's high volume.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be sort of low prep, easy to produce. But we kind of cover a lot of bases, because it is tourist based, you know, fish and chips, pizzas. But we put on, because we're near East London, a pie and mash, which is actually the best seller at the moment, which I was very surprised at, but it's good. We've got some Korean sort of barbecue dishes for a nod at Borough Market kind of street food.
Nice.
But a lot of the other hotels that we've got, you know, Victoria in the train station there, that's kind of more independent restaurant now.
Okay.
And we work closely with the teams on that and steer it in the right direction. The chefs have a lot more input, which, from my background as a head chef, I kind of want to do that, because I think they should be able to have an input rather than us telling them this is your dishes and this is where we're going in.
I think it's important to collaborate maybe with the kitchens, because there are so many pressures on in the kitchens. When working together, you can then overcome those pressures.
And I know from my early days of being a chef, you do have ideas and you want someone to listen to them.
Yeah.
You know, I only got to where I was because someone listened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of feel that I need to put that back into our business. Some days they might not think I'm listening, but I am always listening, because that's the only way I learn.
No, I completely agree. So overall, a movement towards premiumizing menus and dishes is really important for the value-driven customer.
Yeah, because it is about the experience. You know, I think we've got some hotels in some amazing locations, you know, and one thing that's become evident where we're building good offers is we're attracting a lot of local residents,
mm-hmm.
and they're repeat customers. And that's a lot of things we're saying why the hotels want to have a bit more input, because they have repeat customers in some quite affluent parts of London that want to come in and eat, and kind of going, I'm a little bit bored of this now. Can we try? Could you do this for me?
Spice up a bit. Get it more exciting.
You know, I look back to when I was a head chef, and I used to come in on a daily basis, or when I was coming into London on a motorbike to start work, I'd be thinking dishes through my head, knowing what I had in stock. And it was very easy to be creative and change things back then, because you didn't have the issues of calorie counts and allergen information. You just came in and made things up.
Yeah.
So having those new regulations in line, which is why we centralise menus, because we have to control that, has made the creativity side of the role a little bit more complicated.
Mm.
You know, we used to make things up on the spot and change it, and it was fun. And it's kind of then trying to interpret that, how our chefs can work with me to allow them to be creative. We have to follow a procedure and structure so that we're legally compliant.
There obviously is a huge rise, I think there's going to be ever growing, of people with dietary preferences and needs and requirements. I know we've touched on it a bit already, but how do you reflect that into menus but keep the dishes exciting, like, and innovative and not boring? I think people think vegan, they think vegetables, or they think plant-based and they think a meat alternative.
Yeah, it's funny. I got sick to death of going to trade shows and seeing vegan food, and everything was processed. For me, that's not great food.
Mm.
It has its place because it has a price point. But I feel, and with the background of a lot of the chefs we have in our kitchen, ethnically, there's some amazing cuisines out there that lend themselves to being vegan dishes.
Mm-hmm.
So we've just done one at the Sound Cafe at the Cumberland Hotel, okay. working with a chef there who's Egyptian. We've done a aubergine schnitzel with hummus and pomegranate.
That sounds nice.
Vegan feta cheese, some nice leaves with it, and it's absolutely lovely.
I want to eat something and think, not know that it's vegan. I want to order it and think, this is just a plant-based option and it's delicious. I don't want to order it and think, this is vegan.
Yeah, it's a standalone dish and you'd be drawn to it because it's got all the textures, it's got great flavours.
And what do you think about, this is something that I've seen on menus quite a lot since dining out, is having like a plant-based main or a vegan dish and having the option to customise that dish to make it, potentially add a protein sauce or to customise it.
So lots of our salads now, so we have an amazing, we call it the superfood salad, but it's, you know, hitting a bit of a trend. It's a quinoa-based salad with lots of sort of great ingredients with it, but there's always an option for grilled chicken, salmon or tiger prawns to go on that. So we do that across all of our salads and our vegan dishes.
I really like that because I know that I'm more likely to spend more because I'm like, oh, that's a really great dish. I want to add some prawns or chicken. And I think you increase spend per head by doing that because people think, oh, like I'm customizing the dish. It's a bit more personal to me. I'll spend that a little bit more because it feels like a really personable and value-driven experience when I'm dining as well.
Mm. No, definitely.
Which I really like.
Yeah. You know, for myself and my family, we eat Monday to Friday, probably vegetarian.
Really?
Not through costs or anything like that. It's just quick, simple, and it's nice. And to be fair, I probably spend a bit more money on meat and fish on the weekends and buy a better product.
Yeah, I agree. This podcast is brought to you today by two of our suppliers, Lakeland Dairies and La Verge Boron. For over 80 years, La Verge Boron has been the secret ingredient behind world-class menus, trusted by chefs, pastry chefs and mixologists across the globe. From hand selecting the finest fruit varieties to mastering the art of blending and preserving pure, vibrant flavour, Boron delivers premium fruit solutions that spark creativity and elevate every dish, dessert and drink. Boron, where passion meets precision and fruit becomes unforgettable. I also really want to touch on sustainability as well. I'm moving from directory preferences, so I know that a big chunk of people now will pick a venue based on their sustainability practices. Are you seeing people more interested in this on your menus as well? I know we've previously touched on it a bit, but how are you reflecting that on your menus? Are you highlighting things sustainable? Like, what do you feel about locally sourced ingredients and sustainability?
So we're not highlighting it on our menus at the moment. There's a feel that we should be. Mm-hmm. So, it causes issues for yourself. So you can, you know, do your traceability and say, you know, your beef is from Hereford, it's this, it's X, Y, and Z. Mm. That sometimes causes you problems when you've spent 14 grand on a menu run printing.
Yeah.
And then the product runs out. So sometimes you have to be a little bit vague.
Okay.
You know, if you were writing your menus by hand or printing in-house, then great. Yeah, you can chop and change regularly. But as we're a big group and we've got centralized costs and the menu runs are very expensive, you know, we're doing all the marketing behind it, point of sale, it's quite difficult to do it because it's bitten us in the past, where you've added a product, it's got great traceability and sustainability, then 2 months later the supplier's like, it's not available anymore.
Yeah, it's difficult. I think people fail to see the challenges that actually link into it, but I think it leads back to actually having plant-based options on a menu so consumers can make the conscious choice themselves to eat more sustainably and pick the plant-based option.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%. You know, it's something we've debated a lot. The percentages have massively increased. So it's something we're very conscious of and are increasing those options on our menu and trying to be a little bit more innovative with them, but use fresh produce rather than bought in processed.
Yeah, I agree.
Vegan products.
There's a lot of noise about that at the moment, ultra-processed foods and people eating more plant-based foods as well, which links back to health and their dietary preference. And just allowing consumers that choice when they're viewing a menu and knowing they've got that flexibility is really important. I'd really like to pick your brains a bit about fusion concepts. So we're seeing that a lot of consumers now are really interested in trying unique flavours or fusion concepts. I know that I really enjoy fusion concepts. Is this something you're looking at on your menus, or have you seen any fusion concepts that you really interest you?
Massively. I think for me, I'm always curious of different styles and flavours, and, you know, having Borough Market over the road, I will always walk through there and just go and taste food and pick stuff up and just look for unique flavors. You know, it links back into the vegan food. You know, I love Indian food, and some of the Indian dishes are so perfect for vegan food.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's going out and finding the great recipes and then trying to translate that into a hotel kitchen so it's easy to produce. You know, working with suppliers, there's some great sources out there that can support us on that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one of the great things about the job that I do, is trying to find those new products, adapt them so they work in our kitchens using some really good ingredients.
What do you think is an upcoming fusion concept, which is something which is going to become really popular or that people maybe aren't tapping into?
That's a tricky question. I keep hearing that sort of South America is coming big again.
That's one of our trends, yeah, that we had on 2025.
So, you know, the ceviches and great grilled steaks and
mm-hmm.
pickles and marinades. And, you know, it's nice to see that Mexican food is kind of back on the map again, but proper Mexican food.
Yeah, I think people...
Not sort of Tex-Mex.
Not Tex-Mex, and, yeah. Not your fajitas on a Friday night.
Exactly. And I think, you know, for us as chefs, it's kind of like, it's a nice challenge because
mm-hmm.
it makes you go out and do a bit of research and start learning and think about different flavour matches, you know. That's the role I really enjoy.
I think introducing fusion concepts into a menu is a really great way to put new flavours in front of your customers without bombarding them with something maybe they're not that familiar with as well.
Yeah.
So having like a traditional British dish with a twist
yeah.
is a really great way to introduce those flavours like subtly into the menu. And also, again, linking back to Premier Nation, people might be like, oh, I'll pay a little bit more for that because I haven't tried that before. That's a bit new. Or it's not just fish and chips, it's curried fish and chips or something a bit different.
Sometimes how far can you push the boundaries with fusion food? I think, you know, fusion food is also about different cooking techniques.
Mm.
It's not always about the flavours. So it's kind of like we're saying about the burger range we do. It's, you know, I've just done one for the vicinity restaurant downstairs, which is a Korean-based kind of burger. But mm-hmm. it's got, you know, some pickled slaw in there. We're using chicken legs rather than a breast because it's, for me, it tastes better. It's a better product mm-hmm. to go into a burger. But we're using some South Korean marinades on that, and it's actually a really, really good burger with loads of textures, different flavours. So for me, that's kind of a fusion dish
mm-hmm.
with a twist.
And I suppose there are loads of small changes which make a big impact to the dish overall and on a menu as well. So you're going from a standard burger to then a Korean burger, and you're upgrading so many, you're premiumizing so many different elements of it,
yeah.
which then makes the experience more value-led for the consumer as well.
Yeah, and it also brings in a few more techniques into the kitchen where, you know, you kind of each menu development you do, as I get to know the teams better, you kind of go, right, next level is we've done that well. Let's see if we can push that a little bit further. Yeah. So it's a learning development for me with the teams as well, going, okay, how do we get this to the next level? And still have consistency and volume ease
yeah,
to
getting
produce.
It out, and also the logistics behind it as well.
Yeah.
Like it might be great to have a great chefy idea, but how are you going to then translate that into a working kitchen that's under time and cost pressures as well?
Yeah, and you know, I think food nearly all day, to be honest. And I come into work and I'll be on Instagram and I'll see a dish and I'm like looking and going, could we do that? Or how can I simplify that to make it work in our kitchens? You know, you do a centralized dish and you think that's a brilliant idea. It might work in two hotels because their kitchens are set mm-hmm. up to work that way. But it won't work in three others because they just don't have the equipment or the numbers.
Yeah.
So it's always that kind of fine balance of how far can we go? And it is a journey. I think it's a long journey as well.
There's a will, there's a way.
Yeah, definitely.
That was really insightful. And thanks so much for sharing your insights on that. But before I let you go, can you share one final thought of what you think makes a hotel menu really innovative and compete with the high streets? I know that's a really big thing at the moment. How do you get people to come in from the high street and dine with yourselves?
It's interesting that, because I think hotel restaurants are some of the best restaurants to go in, because we're fortunate that we have a massive revenue income from the bedrooms. Our restaurants are kind of not marketed as a sole restaurant, and sometimes people I think the challenge is getting people into the hotels to eat as a destination.
Yeah, not just as a guest.
Not just as a guest. Because in central London, most of our guests go out and eat anyway because mm-hmm. you're in central London. So the mm-hmm. choice is huge. So where we've seen a marked change in what we do is how do we attract external guests to come in? And it goes down to the environment of the room and how it looks and the feel, how good the waiters are.
The ambience of the whole restaurant.
Yeah. And I think we are doing a good job of it. You know, there's some good concepts we've done, and we've pushed the boundaries of our skill sets and the designs of our restaurants. But it is a challenge. It is hard. What makes us stand out against the high street? It's difficult to say, because a lot of the stuff that I will go and look at is kind of, what's the high street doing? So how can I either replicate that or make it better? And I think our base ranges of burgers and steaks and fish and chips, we probably do it better than a lot of the high street. But do we shout about it enough?
I think that's
probably
the key.
Not.
Yeah. I know for me, it being shouted about is important, because I use social media a lot when I'm out and about in London. I will look at TikTok, Instagram, and I'll be like, oh, that dish looks really good. Like, it looks really good. I wouldn't bat an eyelid if it was in a hotel to still go and dine in that restaurant. And I think what you're doing here is a great example. Like, we've got the window here and the ambience is lovely. The dishes are really nice. So people are going to look at them and be like, I want to go there.
I did a photo shoot yesterday, and while we were there, we were always looking which dish is going to be the hook, which is the Instagrammable picture.
Yeah.
And there's always that thought process when we're doing new menus. It's kind of like, where's the hook? How are we going to catch people?
Yeah. Needs to look good, taste good, and be in a good location. Yeah.
But be easy enough that we can do it consistently, because there's nothing worse than sort of seeing something on Instagram. You come into London on the train, you think, well, I'll go there tonight. And you go there and you go, well, that's not what I saw.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to go back.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think the consistency is what attracts your customers to keep coming back.
So consistency, look, taste and ambiance are key.
Yeah.
Amazing. And finally, if you had one piece of advice for a hotel chef, maybe quite early on in their career, what would you give them, or something that's always stuck with you?
Ask questions and keep learning.
Once again, thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast. I really enjoyed having you here sharing your expertise.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode with Lee and want to find out more about what Bidfood can do to support hotels, visit our hotel webpage on bidfood.co.uk and make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Goodbye.